Amen. You can get your Bibles out and go with me in your Bible somewhere. We'll get there eventually. That was a joke. Praise God. Some of you got scared. It's okay. Luke chapter 6, if you will. Luke chapter 6. You want to go somewhere? Go to Luke chapter number 6. Recently, my wife and I were traveling, and as we were traveling, there was pressures on us. And how many of you know, oftentimes, it's the people that are closest to you that you just let your guard down, you feel the most comfortable just being mean to? Anybody else like that? I know, if any honest people in here, okay, a couple of you guys are honest out there. I know from myself personally, I find that oftentimes, I don't know what it is, but my wife especially, we can, you know, our guard is down, we get into a situation, it's easy to just shoot off a comment, to be mean, to just say something, you know, and just because you know they love you and you know they're not going anywhere, it's almost like you have permission or license just to be rude, you know? And maybe you all are too holy for that, or you're beyond that now, but I'm still there, and I'm still dealing with this. So we're going through this time, and we had talked to each other, and we said, what is going on? We're at each other, we know we're traveling, we know we're, you know, got the kids and that sort of a thing, and there's pressures on our life. And so we prayed, and we just gave it to God, and it was almost as if God opened my eyes personally. I know my wife as well, as we were looking at the situation, looking at life, and as we were going throughout our day, going to breakfast, going doing different things, and as we traveled, it was like just a realm opened up to us. God started showing us different people, different things that were taking place. I noticed when people would open up a door for me and would hold it and wait for my kids to come through. I would notice when somebody would go the extra mile at the cash register and make sure that we knew what it was that we were doing, make sure that we were taken care of. I noticed when somebody was smiling and when somebody was really genuine. And it almost caught on that I realized, man, I need to have this same sort of a thing. As Christians, we ought to be the most wonderful, most kind, most loving people in the world. And I know that sounds so cliche, and we've been taught, you know, and especially if you watch the news, you watch television, you watch any of that kind of stuff, we've been told that, you know, Christians are hypocrites, and that if we're nice, we're kind, we're loving, then we've got to be a super hypocrite, you know, because really the world is that bad, and things are that terrible, that we should have a frown on our face or something like that. But as Christians, we have a hope. We have a hope in Christ. We have a hope of eternal life. We've got a hope that, you know what, this is not how it's always going to be, that this can change. Why? Because I'm a praying Christian, and my God is a big God, and God will take care of me. God will do supernatural things. God will overwhelm and overcome the situation that I am in. And even though it may look bad, I don't have to look bad, and therefore, I'm going to smile. I'm going to go out of my way for somebody. I'm going to sow love, sow goodness, sow kindness into the world around me. And so my wife and I, as we were traveling, we started to see ourselves reciprocating. You know what I mean by reciprocating? We started to see ourselves doing. Started to see ourselves not just reacting, but now being proactive and going after things. We parked at one place in the city that we were in, and as we parked there, I paid for 2 hours, and we went and we had breakfast. We came back, and we only had used an hour. And as we were about ready to pull out, I noticed there was another car pulling in behind us. And I said, you know what, I've got a whole extra hour on my parking ticket here that I could bless them with. And so I ran back to the other car, and I went up to the window, and there was a man and his wife there in the car. And I said, excuse me, you know, roll down the window. Gave him the international sign for roll down your window. And even though nobody does this anymore, they just do this now. So, but I still was going like this, you know, roll it down. And so they did that, and the window came down. And so I said, hey, you know what, I've got a whole extra hour on my ticket. Do you guys want this? And the lady looked shocked. I mean, it was like you would have thought I just slapped her in the face or something like that. She was just, you know, like this. And the guy must have been a surfer dude because he was like, dude, you so totally rule. I haven't been told I rule in a long time. It really did something for me personally. I was excited that I ruled now. And so I was so blessed. Even though it was a small amount of change for a parking meter, I didn't care. It blessed me. Tonight I want to talk to you about a subject called reconnecting with kindness. Reconnecting with kindness. See, it's an unkind world we live in. You go out there on the job, you got people that are sourpusses, unkind people on the job. Your boss might be, you know, the taskmaster. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe because of that, you realize that you've become the taskmaster or the task slave, and you've become unkind, responding to the world around you. I mean, all it takes is getting on the 10 freeway at any time of day to start learning about unkindness, right? I was driving here tonight, and I said, oh, Lord, I'm preaching on kindness tonight. I got to be nice to these people, you know, as we're driving on and people are cutting me off and cutting in and slowing down when they should be speeding up. You know what I'm talking about. And you know, everything in this world is designed to cut you down, to stop you, to halt you in your walk with God and in the things of God. And yet God says, I want you to be like me. Follow my example. Follow my way. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? That means that we link up with the way he's doing things. And I had you turn with me to Luke chapter number 6, verse number 35. Take a look with me. Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. Jesus is speaking and he says, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. See, all of us that are born of the Spirit of God are now considered sons, whether you're male or a female, you are a son. See, girls, you got to get used to being a son because we men have to get used to being the bride of Christ. Okay, so it evens out, don't worry. But Jesus said that if we love our enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, our reward will be great, and we will be sons of the Most High. Look at what it says. For he, capital H, speaking of God, he is what? He is kind to the unthankful. Now that would be enough. We would say, yeah, I can be kind to the unthankful. But look at the next one, and evil. Some translations actually say he is kind to the unthankful and the wicked. See, we could look at this world and we could say, how could God prosper the ungodly? How could God allow those people to do that? How could God bless these people? They're unkind, they're unthankful, they're evil, they're contrary to the ways of God. That's what evil is. They're wicked in their ways, and yet God still loves them. God still allows them to prosper. God still allows them to live the life that they're living. And yet the Bible doesn't ever tell us that we should be mad about that. Why? Because God is kind to everybody. He's kind to the unthankful. He's kind to the evil. Remember, Jesus Christ died for us, the thankful and now the godly, the saints of God, those who have been born again. He died for us while we were saints? No, while we were yet sinners. Before we knew to be thankful, before we were walking in the ways of God, Christ died for us. Christ died for us knowing what we would do. See, in this day and age, we're looking backwards on the cross. We're looking back to the redemptive work of Jesus. That means that Jesus Christ, in his death, knew that we were going to mess up and sin and still died for us anyways, knowing what we were going to do. See, that should blow all of us away. And if God can be that kind to us, then we can love our enemies. We can do good. We can lend, hoping for nothing in return. Because why? We're going to be sons of the Most High, and our reward will be great. Are you listening today? Mark Twain said, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. See, when you're kind, you start showing people who Jesus Christ is. Why? Because you're his son. You know, people look at my son. I've got a son. He's my middle son. People look at him and they say, man, that is just a stamp. That's a little Pastor Dan running around. Really, if you look at pictures of me when I was that age, man, it really is close. But here's the deal. People look at my son, and who do they see? They see the Father. In the same way, if you start going out there and doing the works that God does, and you display the kindness of God, people aren't just going to see you. No, they're going to see your God. Are you listening? They're going to see past you and see Jesus who died on the cross. And Jesus said, I come to show them the image of the Father. He is the express image of the Father. So now they're not only going to see Jesus, they're going to see a loving Father. That's what this is all about. That's why we have to reconnect with kindness. Why do I say reconnect? Because we were taught this. We were taught this in the worldly sense, right? From a very young age, we were taught to share. We were taught to do good, not to say mean things. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. See, we know this. And yet we've gotten away from it. Why? Because we think that we're mature. We think that we're adults. We think that the situation that we're in warrants unkindness or meanness or rudeness or whatever it is. And yet God is saying, I want you to reconnect, but not just reconnect in the way that you were taught growing up. That's basic. Let's reconnect with what the Word has to say. And when we start getting into the Word and we start understanding, how does God want me to respond here? How does God want me to do this? What does God think about this? Now, all of a sudden, we can start to be the people of God, that God wants us to be, men and women. You know, I kind of picked on the men and women a second ago. Let's go individually. Let's start with the men. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22. If you want to turn there, you can. It's a great verse. Proverbs chapter number 19. Verse number 22. Proverbs 19, 22 says this. This is what is desired in a man is what? Oh, I'm sorry. I only heard about a third of you guys. What is desired in a man is what? Kindness. That is what makes a person desirable. See, we so want to be approved of. We so want to be accepted. We so want to be needed sometimes that we do everything else except being kind. And in fact, in the Hebrew, that word kindness is really loyal, covenant, love. Going beyond the expectation, swearing to your own hurt, staying with it, staying after it, being loving, even in the face of adversity. And it says, and a poor man is better than a liar. Now, for years I read that and I thought, what does that mean? Anybody read that and just say, I don't get it. You know, it's okay. I didn't get it. I was thinking about this, but think about this. What is desired in a man is kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. So if the desire is kindness, and now we're talking about a poor man, well, what's the opposite? Rich, right? So that means even greater is a desire for kindness than a desire for riches. Why? Because would you rather have a poor person who is kind and loyal and loving, or would you rather have a rich person who's a liar, a cheat, a thief, backstabber? We all would say, well, give me the poor man, right? Why? Because who cares about money? Who cares about wealth? Who cares about riches of this world? I want somebody who loves me. I want somebody who's kind. I want somebody who, when the chips are down, they're going to have my back. They're going to be there. They're not going to backstab. They're going to cover me. They're going to be with me. They're going to pray for me. Right? See, that's what's desirable in a man. I love what Alexander McLaren said. He said, kindness makes a person attractive. If you would win the world, melt it. Do not hammer it. See, oftentimes we go out there and we try and win people to the Lord. And how do we try and win people to the Lord? Well, most of the time it's debating. It's browbeating with the Bible. You know, hey, you need to, right? And you got to do this. Right? But God says, just be kind. Start loving people. That love and that kindness will open the door in ways that you never imagine. Heard of a guy that was going to Dwight L. Moody's church. And he walked across Chicago in the snow to get to his church. On his way to D.L. Moody's church, he had to pass up several other churches. And they said, why do you walk all this way to get to this church when there's tons of churches on your way? And he said, because they love a guy over here. See, that's why I know a lot of people drive to The Rock. It's because we love a guy over here. Why? Because this is a kind place. This is a place that welcomes people. It's a place that doesn't judge, doesn't criticize, doesn't condemn. We don't care about how many tattoos you have. Don't care about how much you've messed up. Don't care about how many exes you have. See, this is a place that's kind. This is a place that's loving. This is a place that will melt the stony, hard heart. How about for the ladies? Proverbs chapter 31, the virtuous woman. Are you listening, ladies? Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. Thank you for that feminine amen. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, look at this. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Same word, loyal, covenant, love. On her tongue is that law. On her tongue, she's speaking those things. She's telling her children about it. She's talking to her husband about it. She's telling her friends about it. Not gossiping, no, she's out there talking kindness. Talking love, talking loyalty, covering, loving, blessing with her tongue. See, that will do so much. An unkind woman, ladies, you know, when somebody's unkind and when they've got a tongue that hurts, I'm going to stay away from them. They're a gossip. They're a busybody. I'm going to stay away from them. But when they're kind, oh my goodness, call them on the phone. Get them over to your house. Let's make a play date and let the kids go do their thing. And we're going to talk. Why? Because kindness. See, it's a desirable quality in a man or in a woman. Can you say amen? So tonight, a couple of things. How to connect with kindness. A couple of things from the Word of God. How to connect with kindness. We learn what it is. You know, we learn that God is kind. We need to be kind. We learn that it's a desirable quality. How do we connect with it? Well, number one, how to connect with kindness. Number one for tonight, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Some of you knew I was going there, didn't you? Galatians chapter 5. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter number 5, there in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter number 5, it talks about the works of the flesh, what happens when we walk in the flesh. Talks about the things that take place, all of those. It just is a list, a dirty laundry list, if you will, of all the things that take place when we walk in the flesh. But then it switches over and it starts to talk about the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, I want you to notice that a part of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. In the Old King James Version, if you will, it says gentleness. Some of you guys have that, you know, you memorize it, OKJV, gentleness or kindness. But I want to point out something to you. If we're talking about kindness, talking about how to reconnect with kindness, in an unkind world, in a world that, you know, it's natural to be mean, it's natural to drive on the freeway and get road rage. We all do that. It's okay. But how do we reconnect with kindness? Well, we've got to get into the Spirit of God. We've got to walk in the Spirit and not walk according to the flesh. See, we could go left-sided and we could say, my goodness, this is the way that it is. This is how I feel. I thought it, therefore I let it out of my mouth, right? Or we could choose to go right-side and we could say, you know what, I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. I'm going to go according to the will and the way of God. Not do things my way. I'm going to do things God's way. And I'm going to get into the Spirit of God. And now I'm going to allow the Spirit to produce fruit in my life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And allow kindness to be a natural byproduct of walking in the Spirit. See, if you're connected and linked up with the Spirit of God rather than with your flesh, the natural tendency in the Spirit is going to be kindness. The natural tendency in the flesh is to be unkind. So how do you determine which is which? Well, you know what's unkind, right? We know the words that hurt. We know the actions that are abrasive. It's kind of funny. My wife and I, when we were having that first part of our trip and we were being unkind to each other, I remember we were having an argument. And it was over, I don't even remember what now. Well, my wife looked at me and said, you had a tone. Any men ever had a tone? Okay, a couple of brave men out there. The rest of you, your wives are sitting next to you. It's okay. Just sit still. She said, you had a tone. See, it wasn't what I said. It was how I said it. How much trouble, how many fights could we avoid if we were kind? See, I think when we argue as husband and wife, I know me personally, my wife and I, when we argue, a lot of times we're arguing more about the non-essentials of the argument than we are in dealing with the actual matter. Why? Because someone wasn't in the Spirit, and even though they may be right, they were unkind. I'm not saying who's which, because I have to go to bed tonight. But isn't it the truth? Don't we all do that? Don't we get mad at the boss? Why? The boss was unkind, so we respond unkind. Oh, you didn't like that? Well, here's my report on it. Well, why is your report missing? Well, you didn't need that, right? We start arguing. See, you will get passed up for a promotion if you're unkind. Hello? Oh, we want the promotion on the job. We want to be in management, but we can't be kind? Oh, come on. With your children. I know it's hard sometimes to be kind to your children. Why? Because they're stupid. Yeah? Messing around, doing the wrong things. And if they do the wrong thing enough, and sometimes it isn't what they're doing, it's just the way that they're doing it. Dad, daddy, dad, dad, what? You know? The women, I wish I could do what they do, but I can't do it, right? The kids, mom, 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 mommy, mama, mom, 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 mommy. And somehow to the woman, it's like static, shh. I finally have to say, would you listen to your children? Driving me crazy. But we got to learn to be kind. Why? Because those little hearts can get hurt very easily. See, kindness will go further. Kindness will take you farther. And as you walk in the Spirit, God will produce that in your life. And the way to determine is, you know when you're in the flesh. Remember, the King James Version says gentleness. See, gentleness is handling something in a way that's not going to break it. We know that the people around us have frailties, right? There's insecurities. There's issues in people's lives. And kindness is being gentle with that person's frailties. You understand? So if you know that there's a red button that they say, don't push this button, here's gentleness. Don't push the button. Are you listening? If you know that somebody's weak in an area, kindness supports that weakness and encourages and edifies where they're strong and helps them to get strong in that area of weakness. Kindness overlooks an offense. Kindness goes the extra mile. Kindness forgives. Why? Because we know that there's a frailty in that area, that they could be hurt, that they could be damaged in that area. So I'm going to be gentle with that. I'm going to handle that very carefully, and I'm going to be kind. It'll take you further than you ever dreamt. How do we reconnect with kindness? Well, walk in the Spirit, number one. Number two, how about this one? Walk in love. Walk in love. Very familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Turn there with me. You're in there in Galatians. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 has been deemed the love chapter. Verse number 4, it starts to describe the characteristics of love. Very interesting that the characteristics of love are very close to characteristics of walking in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. Take a look at it with me. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, continues on to, does not behave rudely, right? It's the opposite of that. It's kind. Very interesting also to note that 1 John, the 4th chapter, says that God is love, right? So we could say God suffers long and God is kind. So if we're going to imitate God, then we could put our name in there. I could say Dan suffers long and Dan is kind. Dan does not envy. Dan does not parade himself. Dan is not puffed up. Dan is not rude. See, you can put your name into the Scripture. Why? Because this is about you. This is about me. This isn't just a nice little fuzzy learning lesson that we feel good about ourselves and, oh, I learned something new, or a history lesson that we say, oh, that's interesting. No, God is not interested in that. God is interested in when we walk out of these doors, we get in our car, and we start to drive out of this place, and we hit a line to get out of the gates. We're not even to the freeway yet, and somebody's already wanting to cut in. Now, all of a sudden, God is interested in your life. God is looking at how we respond. When you wake up tomorrow and the kids are going crazy, when you wake up tomorrow and the bills need to be paid, when you wake up tomorrow and you go to work and the boss is unkind, or your coworkers are gossiping or backbiting or whatever it is, God's looking at your life to say, how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond in the flesh? Are you going to respond in the Spirit? Are you going to respond unloving, or are you going to respond in love? Because love suffers long and is kind. That means that in the face of repeated offenses and adversity, it still remains kind because it is suffering long. Wow. Wow. William Barclay said, more people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in all the world. See, oftentimes we hear that somebody's of a different religion. We hear that somebody is agnostic. Maybe we hear that they call themselves an atheist, and we immediately want to break out the ammo that's in our gun, that you can't be an atheist because you don't believe there is a God. You can't be in every place at one time to know that God's not sitting behind the moon, so you can't be an atheist, right? And we've got our arguments, and we've got things all lined up, and we're ready to just, right? And yet, do you know that when those things come out, people go, if that's how being a Christian is, I don't want to be like that. And yet, when somebody calls themselves an atheist, and you start to express the kindness of God, and you overlook an offense, and when they're unkind, you're still kind to them, they start to look around. Why? Because they thought you were going to respond a certain way. They sent out unkindness expecting unkindness back. They send out unkindness and they get kindness back. All of a sudden they say, wait a second, what's different about you than everybody else in this place? I want what you've got. Now you've got an open door to tell them, hey, there is a God. He is loving. And what you see in me is a reflection of him because I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in love, and my God is love. That's his nature. That's who he is. That's what he does. And now his nature's on the inside of me, and that's who I am, and that's what I does. Are you listening tonight? Mother Teresa said it beautifully. She said, we're all pencils in the hand of a writing God who is sending love letters to the world. What's the love letter that God is writing to your family? What's the love letter that God's writing to your neighbors? What's the love letter that God is writing to your coworkers, to your relatives? What's the love letter God's writing to the person at the gas station that you just happened to come across? What's the love letter God's writing to the person that sat up next to you at the beach when you're taking a break on a Saturday? What's the love letter God is writing to the clerk behind the desk? It's had a rough day. See, your kindness is that letter. My goodness, the Apostle Paul says that we are all living letters, living epistles, that God has written on our hearts, and now we can be read and known by all men. And as we walk in love, people read our lives. And when there is genuine Christian love expressed in kindness, it will melt the world. It will just soften the hearts, and it'll turn people to Jesus. Are you listening tonight? Last thing, reconnecting with kindness. Number one is walk in the Spirit. Number two is walk in love. Number three, and this is where the rubber meets the road. This is really what it all comes down to. Choose to be kind. How do you reconnect with kindness? Walk in the Spirit, walk in love, but it is a choice. You are always going to be presented with the choice. Am I going to walk in the flesh, or am I going to walk in the Spirit? Am I going to walk in love, or am I going to be unkind and just do my thing right now? See, it's a choice, and we have to choose to be kind. That's why the Bible uses certain terminology. Let's take a look at it. You're there in 1 Corinthians, certainly the book of Colossians. Colossians. We're going to take a look at two passages, very similar passages, one in Colossians and one in Ephesians. We'll start with Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I've got verse 12 up on the overhead. I'm going to read verse number 13 because we're going to pull a thought out of that, and then we'll come back to that thought in the book of Ephesians. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Take a look at this with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12 says this. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Everybody say put on. See, that's a choice. You can either put it on or you can leave it off. Am I right? When you got up today, you took a shower, hopefully, brushed your teeth, please. You decided to do what? Put on some clothes. And you chose what clothes you put on. Is that right? Nobody walked out and handed you, put this on. Unless, you know, your wife is just that cool and does that for you. Like sometimes my wife does. But you chose and you said, I'm going to put this on. I'm going to, even if somebody handed it to you, you still had to make the choice to put it on. Nobody forced you. Nobody strapped you down and made you put on your clothes. You had a choice. You said, I'm going to put this on. So now here the Bible is saying, as Christians, as the elect, as the holy, as the beloved, put on what? Put on tender mercies. What's the next thing? Oh, come on. Some of you guys are tracking. What's the next thing? Kindness. Put it on. You have a choice as a part of your Christian wardrobe to put this on. Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long suffering. There's that word again. We keep coming back to that. Have you noticed that kindness and long suffering go together? Just like love does? My goodness. Then it says, bearing with one another, verse 13, and forgiving one another. Now, I want you to store that in your memory banks, forgiving one another, because we talked about kindness and forgiving. I want you to just log that. That it talked about you have a choice to put on tender mercies, kindness, and to forgive people. Turn me to the book of Ephesians. A couple books back to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 31, and we'll read through verse number 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away. See, before we were putting on something, right? But this says, put this stuff away. Put it off. Take it off. These are the fleshly things. These are the earthly things. These are the natural response to the circumstances, responding unkind, responding in the flesh, rather than responding in the spirit. So it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Remember tender mercies? Now he's saying tender-hearted. And look at the next word, forgiving. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, God was kind enough in your sinful state to love you enough, to bear with you, to long suffer, and to forgive. And now because God forgave all of your junk, all of your sin, all of your stain, washed it clean by his blood, now you have not just a choice, you have an obligation that if you are a Christian, this is how you ought to act. I know we've been told that choice is choice, and if you choose, then you're cool. If you don't choose, you're not cool. Right? You just whatever. You can do your thing. Truth for you is truth for you. Truth for me is truth for me. Our age, our society has said whatever you want to do, that's okay as long as you do it and you stay true to yourself. Listen, if you are true to the Word of God, which is truth, then it's not just a choice. This is an obligation. Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. But he said, if you don't forgive, neither will your sins be forgiven. So as Christians, yes, we have the choice and we need to choose wisely. We need to do the right thing, but we need to understand that this choice is vitally important to our lives. That kindness shouldn't be something that we say, that was a really warm, fuzzy message that Pastor Dan gave Wednesday night. I really appreciate the fact that he used nice words, and we walk out of this place and then we live like the devil for the rest of our week. That's not the choice that you're being presented here. This is the eternal word of God. This is the truth from God's word. This is the oracle of God. God is saying it. We need to respect it and fear God enough to say, God, you were kind to me. You loved me. You forgave me. God, I'm going to go the distance for those people that hate me, that have hated on me, that have backstabbed me. God, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release it. God, I'm going to let it go. God, I'm going to love them. God, I'm going to just melt them with kindness. And then leave the results to God. You're not responsible for other people's lives and actions. You're responsible for your life and action. God says, be kind. Why? Because you've been given kindness. Freely you've received, freely give. Things that God has poured into your life, you shouldn't be a cistern. You know what that is? That's a big well that just holds water. No, you're supposed to be a channel. You're supposed to be a funnel. Everything that God has poured into your life, you should be pouring into the people around you. You say, but if I pour out, then I'm not going to have enough. Oh, no, no, no. This well never runs dry. This stream never stops flowing. When you allow God to move through you, you will find that you have more than enough, the Bible says, for every good work, because God is able. God will make grace to abound towards you. And this grace of kindness, this spiritual fruit that can be produced in your life by, number one, walking in the Spirit, number two, walking in love. And number three, by choosing every day to say, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to love people. I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to let somebody in line in front of me at the store. I'm going to bless somebody. I'm going to pay for the dude behind me at the drive-in. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to go the distance. See, that is uncommon in this world today. And that's something that the world around us will stand up and will take notice of. Tonight, what did we learn? We learned about kindness, reconnecting with kindness. How do we connect with kindness? Number one, walk in the Spirit. Number two, walk in love. Number three, choose to be kind. Can we give the Lord a praise tonight? Hallelujah. God is so good.